So today I want to talk about character. What is character? Okay. We talk a lot about it. Not like we as a church in specific, but just as a culture, we talk a lot about character. We emphasize the importance of character, what character is. But my question is, why do we want it? And what is its value? Right? And oftentimes, even when we say that, right, character, we often assume some good things. But what are some character traits? Get some answers going. Stubbornness, which is not a good character trait, but it is character, right? Good. Well, I guess it could be good. It's true. We're gonna get to that, actually. So what'd you say, sorry, Rita? Honesty, that's a good one. Stubbornness, honesty, anything else? Compassion. Work ethic. Integrity is a big one. I like integrity. So, what is the value? Why do we even care about characteristics? Why do we even bother to describe them? Why do we bother to talk about them at all? What is the point? Yeah, it helps describe a person, but how so, right? Yeah, I'll give you an example just because that was kind of a vague question. So for example, if I walk around and I say, I'm a Christian and these are the things that I believe and these are the things that I do, what is different between what I'm saying and character? Action, yeah. Sorry, what did you say? Doing them, yeah. Right? I have a quote here from Bill Hybels about character. And he says, character, a wise person once said, is what we do when no one is looking. It's not the same as reputation, which is what other people think of us, and it's not the same as success or achievement. Character is not what we have done, but who we are. That's character. And why is that so important? It's funny, actually. I wasn't planning on using this, but I happened to watch a video this morning where there was a university professor talking about this, and he said, He was talking about the difference between faith and like what I was saying before, espousing what you say you believe, right? I believe in this, I believe in this. But how we truly kind of figure out who a person is, how we truly understand who that person is and what it is how we can expect them to react to us, how we can expect them to interact with us, is more in what we observe them doing, right? Who they are. It's one thing to say that you're something, but it's another when we actually look and we can actually evaluate who that person really is. But today I want to look at just a few different characteristics, character attributes, I don't know. I'll call them positive character traits, things that we need to work on, things that we need to talk about. And we're going to talk about characteristics a little more as we go on in December here. First one I will look at is Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. So if you have a Bible here, I would encourage you to flip with me to Joshua chapter 1, because I'm not going to flip it for you. Mostly because that would be really time consuming. There's a lot of people here, and that would take a lot of time to get all those Bibles. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Be strong and courageous. This is an angel speaking to Joshua. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Courage. Sometimes we often only think of courage when we think of battle. When we think of things like the soldiers that ran into the line of fire in World War II or in World War I, or soldiers that are running into the line of fire over in Afghanistan or Iraq. That's often when we think of courage, we think of bravery, we think of these people that immediately put themselves into danger. But Joshua, I don't think he was dealing so much with that need of courage. In fact, it doesn't say, Joshua, I need you to go lead these people into battle. It was what he was about to do. He didn't say, be strong and courageous for that. He said, look, you got to stick with the law. He says, be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right. When we talk about character and we talk about courage, courage is so much more than just running headlong into danger. It's about standing up for what you really believe in. Courage is hearing someone say something and you saying, no, that's not right. That's not true. That's false. It takes courage to do that because our culture tells us right now, no, you need to tolerate that from someone else. You need to tolerate when someone says something bad. By the way, the only way that we can learn is when we tell people, no, you're wrong. And then we work together, we communicate, we establish truth, and then we grow. And I hit my mic. That's how we grow. And it's through this courage that we have to grow, we have to foster, and we need to work on that. If we want to have strong character, then one of the main attributes we need to work on is courage. Because courage is going to ensure that we maintain that strong character. Without courage, we're likely to give up or give in. And then the next one I want to look at is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. I have a distinct advantage because mine are all bookmarked. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those that he loves as a father in the son he delights in. Discipline is a good thing. And discipline is so much more than getting a spanking for being a bad child. Discipline is kind of, it's like straightening out the rails, right? If a train doesn't have straight rails, if the rails are all crooked or bent or banged, the train can't function. In fact, oftentimes it gets derailed. It doesn't work properly. It's not doing its intended purpose. Discipline is meant to come along and fix it, to straighten its path so that way it can function fully. It can work as intended. And of course, you don't come along and bang out, you know, you don't come along with your sledgehammer and bang in new rails or bang out old problems. You don't do these things unless you actually care about that individual, or in this case, the rail. People don't discipline you unless they care. Telling someone, hey, you've done something wrong, using that courage that wells up within you and saying, look, like, this is bad. This is, you know, you can't do this because this is actually going to derail your life. This is going to hurt you so much. Having the courage to come out and say that and bring that discipline is actually such a good thing. See, you discipline the people that you want to see succeed. So discipline is such a good thing. Of course, self-discipline, we'll talk about this a little bit later, that's allowing yourself to recognize that, you know what, you may not be perfect all the time, and you need to work on yourself. Good examples of that, you know, it takes a lot of discipline to go to the gym every day. I don't, you can tell. I was talking to Rebecca about this. I think I weigh 100 pounds more than I did in high school because I stopped going to the gym. Why? Because I lacked the discipline involved. I lacked the courage, really, to keep myself on that path. Now, of course, it's not too late. I can always go to the gym. I'm still young. But... And the same goes for any aspect in our life, right? Someone once asked me, you know, why do I like Star Wars so much? And don't even laugh, because I know you're thinking of it. But to me, it's the greatest story of healing. It is such a good story of healing. You start off with this young kid, right? He's completely naive, completely innocent. He wants to become this hero. He wants to become a Jedi. He wants to go out and save people. And then as the movies progress, he does. He becomes this hero, and then he gets involved in the war, and he begins to fight against oppression, and he's like, no, I'm going to stand up for what's right. Then, of course, a little thing happens. He gets nudged off, and it completely derails his life. But he buys into this lie that it's over. I messed up. I'm done. I can't be anything but this anymore. So then this character perpetuates and he continues on. Darth Vader. Spoiler. So he becomes this magnificent bad guy, right? He's the pinnacle of all evil when you see him. And the thing is that he was such a good guy in the beginning. He had all the best intentions in the world. But it wasn't enough because he lacked the discipline to keep himself straight. He didn't have people around him anymore for reasons, if you watch the movie, that help him to keep his path straight until later on his son comes along and says, look, I know that there's still good in you. It's not too late. Despite all of the bad things he'd done, despite all the evil he'd done, eventually, in the end, again, spoiler, he does turn back to the light. He does become the good guy once again. And I love that story because it says, look, it's never too late. It's never too late for you to make the right decision. It's never too late to fix the rails of your life and get back to going. Next verse I want to look at is Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 25. Did I say 19? Yeah, it is 19. Okay, I was just looking at the wrong one. Matthew 19 and 25. When the disciples heard about this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and he said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So I mentioned courage and discipline already. This one I want to mention real quickly is vision. The cool thing about God is that all things are possible with God. If you have vision enough, if you have the vision that these disciples did, right? When they first got started, they were so narrow-minded. They thought, I'm a fisherman. I will only ever be a fisherman. That is all I can ever dream up in my society. That's the furthest I will ever make it. And then Jesus comes along and he says, look, I want to make you fishers of men. And he shows them basically their great untapped potential that they could have. He opens their eyes and they have vision for the future and they can see what it is that they can accomplish. We love to surround ourselves with those people because these are the people that tell us, look, we can be more than what we are right now. We love this characteristic in people, but it's hard. It's hard. I'm not talking about optimism. I'm talking about vision. See, Jesus came along and he showed these individuals, he showed them, look, with me by your side, you can do anything. With me by your side, all these things that all these religious leaders always told you could never be, you will be more than that. Vision is such a great thing. And without vision, we wouldn't have the great success really that we've had in Western culture. It was because of men and women with vision that led the way. These are the people that end up being great leaders. By the way, I'm not saying that you need to be strong in every single one of these areas. What I'm saying is these are just very important areas of character. Vision is a very important thing. Are you stifling yourself? Are you saying, look, this is all I'll ever be. This is all I could ever do. Or are you saying, look, there's something, let's look forward to the future. What can I be? What can I do? What can we accomplish? And then this one, I'm just going to paraphrase the story. I want to talk about endurance. I kind of fit that in with stubbornness is kind of where I was thinking that. Endurance, I just want to talk about Moses, okay? Mostly because he has a really long story and I don't want to read four books of the Bible right now. But Moses had an incredible story of endurance, right? First, he gets called in to, he gets placed in a very special position of power. And he runs away. God calls me and says, look, I want you to use everything that you've learned for me. I want you to free my people. Okay, so he goes and he does that. And then not only does he free the people after enduring all these plagues and all the stuff that was happening in Egypt, takes them out to the desert, and then they say, oh, you brought us out to die, and he had to endure again. And then, of course, you know, Moses, he succeeds through there. He helps get them food and water. And, you know, by the power of God, providing all these amazing things. And then, of course, they get to the border. And then all the people are like, no, it's too scary over there. We don't want to deal with that. So Moses had to endure again for 40 years out in the desert with these people. At times he had rebellion. At times he had worship to false idols. At times he had to deal with all kinds of crazy things that happened to him in his long journey with these people, but he endured. He remained faithful or stubborn. Because he knew that what he believed was right, and he had the courage to stand up for it. He endured despite all the hostility that came against him, which can be difficult. When we have hostility come up against us, it can be hard. But we can learn from people like Moses, who dealt with so much difficulty, who dealt with so much hardship, and yet continued to be faithful to God. Now I want to talk about love. First, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. And I want to talk about tender love, right? Because love is a very complex word. And we sum it up with one word, which makes it very, very difficult, right? I don't love my wife like I love pizza. It's, you know, very different. So first, we're called to love one another. And first, we're called to tender love. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." So this is obviously New Testament. This is after Jesus came and died on the cross. The story has been shared. It's been told to people. People are hearing about what the love of God can do, and that he came and forgave us of our sin. Sin that each and every one of us is born with. And he didn't do it roughly. He didn't do it angrily. He did it tenderly. He loved us gently first. He wanted us to hear the word of God. He wanted us to feel forgiveness, and he wanted us to embrace it, but he did it gently, right? And we need to approach people gently. Now, at the same time, sometimes gently doesn't work. But we should always try with that first. Next one I want to talk about is tough love. Tough love is very appropriate, as long as it's done lovingly. And tough love is demonstrated in Matthew 23. At various points through the book of Matthew, or in the book of Matthew, through chapter 23, he says several things. Some of them can seem really harsh. Verse 13, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." I mean, I don't know about you, but anyone I've ever interacted with and I've noticed hypocritic behavior and I've called them a hypocrite, they typically don't respond well to it. Jesus did it. "Woe to you, blind guides." Then he says in verse 25, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they were full of greed and self-indulgence." These are tough things to hear, especially when he's talking about you. The last one I want to bring up is verse 33. "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Imagine someone saying that. Imagine your pastor got up and said, "You're going to hell." Jeepers. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes when we come along and we're tenderly sharing the gospel with people, they've just become so calloused, so you know, hard and jaded on the outside that it's hard to get through to them what is going on. And what Jesus finally had to do to these Pharisees is he said, "Look, I know you know it. I know you know the law. I know you know what to do. I know you know all this stuff. But listen, you don't have it figured out. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're saying love each other, and yet you're casting these people out. You're talking about being pure and righteous, and yet you're full of greed and corruption. You have problems." He didn't make it up. He called it as it was. And of course, first he tried tenderness, and then he had to get tough. Sacrificial love, of course, is the kind of love where you give and you don't expect anything in return. Right? Sometimes when you think of sacrificial love, we think, "Oh, well, I gave up a lot." Yeah, you did, but you kind of expected a lot at the same time. Sacrificial love, like the love that Jesus gave, he didn't actually expect anyone to actually repent. He hoped for it. He wished for it. He wanted it, but he didn't expect it. When Jesus came and died on the cross, when he arrived in that season of Advent, you know, the whole plan, the vision of that godly character that came with him, the vision that he had for mankind was, I want to give everything so they can have a chance. That is sacrificial love. And I'm not talking about giving up your life. I'm talking about loving someone so much that you're willing to give up something, whether it be an event that you're a part of, whether it be, you know, time at work, or give up, you know, different personal times, whatever it is. I don't know. I can't speak to it. You'll have to examine and pray about it in your own heart. But the idea is that you give it up and you don't expect anything from that person in return. You just do it because you love them. That's sacrificial love. Last form of love I want to talk about is called radical love. And it's radical because of what it does. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about radical love. Chapter 5, verse 39 to 41. And many of you are familiar with this passage. Maybe not by me saying it, but as soon as I start reading it, you're probably like me and you remember stories. And he says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. We talk about that a lot. We talk about going the extra mile. But we're talking about a radical love. We're talking about a love where we love our enemies. We love those that come against us. We love those that persecute us and beat down on us. Those that despise us. And Jesus says, turn around and love on them like they've never seen before. Right, going the extra mile, that was a big deal because no one ever expected it. People would, is everyone here familiar with the going a mile thing? Okay, I'll just go over it real quickly just in case. So the idea was that the Jewish people were conquered by the Romans. And the Romans, the centurions could come along, right? These military leaders, they would come along and, oh man, they would have this big heavy bag. Well, they could force anyone in any of the provinces that they ruled to carry their stuff for 1 mile. Right? That, you know, everyone was compelled to do at least 1 mile. So what Jesus is saying here is, like, if a centurion comes up and says, you need to carry my stuff for 1 mile, he says, pick it up and go 2. Because you're only compelled to do the first. But the second one, no one would expect that. That's the act of love. Right, doing what you're compelled to do is not love. That is fulfilling an obligation. Going beyond that, doing more than you have to, that is where love happens. And the last thing I want to talk about is integrity. Because integrity is the glue that holds character all together. See, honest, strong moral principles are only ever held together with integrity. Integrity is what makes it, what makes your character strong, even when no one is looking, right? Because it's easy to put on a facade or pretend to be something when you know people are expecting that, right, Robert? Like, you could be a pretty convincing Santa when people are looking to you to be Santa. Right, the people that are involved in the play, right? They can put on this facade and pretend to be something else for a while. They can pretend that they are these people. But integrity is: are you still that person when no one is looking? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Some of you will recognize this. Abby's probably going to be singing it in her head. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I know, I always think the same thing too. For those of you who didn't hear, she went, na 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 na. That's how the song goes. See, the fruit of the Spirit is really just Paul outlining good character, strong character. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about character. as in, you know, this is a good character. But it shows you good character over and over and over again. We're talking about why were certain people exalted above others? Why was David such a good king, and yet Solomon, who accomplished all this other stuff, was such a bad king? It's because of his character. It's about who he was, not what he did, not what he accomplished, but it's about who he was on the inside. David made a whole lot of mistakes, a whole lot of them. But what he was on the inside, his character, the thing that counted, God says there is no law against that. There's no law for that. That's what he wants to see. Even in Deuteronomy, back at the beginning, when he was first putting these people together to be a light to the world, he said, I would rather they circumcise their hearts and just love me. It's always been the same. God's always wanted the same. See, practicing character, though, means doing it, though. Right? We talked about this. The whole idea of how we understand who someone's character is how they act. Right? It's one thing if you say this, you know, if Robert's pretending to be Santa, you know, this afternoon, and then suddenly he stops, I'm not going to believe that he's Santa. Even if he says he is, I'm not going to believe it because he's not being Santa. But the fact of the matter is we need to actually practice what we say we believe. We need to actually practice our good character that we say we want to have. And we need to hold that together with that integrity. That means even when no one is looking, even when no one's watching us, we're going to continue to be that person because we want to be that person for God. It's not about what you've done. It's not even about your intentions. It's about who you are. Let's stand together and pray this morning. Dear God, I'm so thankful that you bring us in, Lord God, that even when we make mistakes and we mess up and we muck up ourselves or we make bad choices, God, that you would just reach out and you would hold us and you would tenderly show us how to get back on track, God. Lord, that I just pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, that you would give us the courage that we need to stand up for who we are. God, that we would bravely set forth into what it is that we believe in. God, that we would not be afraid to act it out as well, Lord God, that we would live our character. God, that you would correct us, rebuke us, straighten us out, Lord God, when we mess up. God, that you would help us to help each other as well, Lord God, that we would not take offense, but Lord, that we would receive criticism and use it to grow as a believer. God, that you would give us vision for the future, that we would see, Lord God, where you are bringing us, Lord God, that we would have the faith enough to jump on board. God, that we would just endure the process as we go through this. Lord, that we would just be strengthened by the onslaught that comes against us, Lord. God, help us to live through it. Lord, that we would love each other. God, that we would love each other tenderly, tough if we need to, sacrificially, that we would give up everything for each other. And God, that we would just be radical in our love to the people around us. Lord, even as they speak out against us, as they resent us, Lord, that we would love them radically in return. And God, that you would help us to be integral and hold this all together. God, give us the integrity we need, Lord, to continue to walk on your path, Lord. We thank you for all that you've brought into us, Lord God, that for all this amazing power that you've granted us as your people. And God, I just pray that you will help us maintain a good character as we continue to walk forward. Thank you for that, Jesus. And in your name I pray. Amen.